This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 18th, 2015, episode 31. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, change logs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, as he always does, Brian with an eye, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Hello, I'm here. Hello, everybody. If you want to get a hold of me, go ahead and go to biteoftech.com. That's with an I, of course. Or if you want to go to google.com/+Brian Aldridge, that'll take you right to my Google Plus profile. And of course, you should always check us out on our website. If you just listen, never been to our website, go to infectionpodcast.com. You're more than welcome to write us an email, give us input. And also, we have our Steam page. We usually mention it at the end. But, you know, maybe people fall asleep about three quarters of the way through, so I figured I'd mention it.
Yeah, we're a little late today, but for a good reason.
They were doing an H1Z1 stream, so we should probably pay attention.
Yeah, there was totally off-the-cuff H1Z1 stream today in regards to the H1Z1 Invitational event, which we covered at great lengths last week. But there was a little stream about that. So, It was an interesting stream. It wasn't a pre-patch live stream, but they did say, and you know, we'll take this for what it's worth, but they did say the next stream they do will be a pre-patch live stream. So yeah. That may or may not happen. We know the track record with those pre-patch live streams are horrendous.
Well, but they're not really on a schedule so much anymore, right?
Yes,
so
it's exactly. I'm not sure how and when.
So we don't know exactly when they're going to have the pre-patch.
The Invitational doing pretty well so far. We'll get into that in a little bit. This week was a mess.
In-game?
Yeah. It was a total disaster. There's nothing to sugarcoat here. It's plain and simple. Last week they talked about how they were going to make their test server builds stable before pushing them to the live server. And come last Wednesday when they did their August 12th game update, it was one of the updates that they did before that, I think. It was the one that they did after the show on Tuesday. Destroyed the game. There's a YouTube video up on our Infection Podcast channel that shows pretty much what was happening. The servers were... The desync on the servers were unplayable. We had players that... We were frozen for players. You couldn't... People were invisible. Couldn't see cars. You were taking damage from people punching you because the server thought you were in a separate location than you really were. Total disaster. And Level Up Audio saying in chat, and this is the game that's going to be going to an invitational event at Twitch.
He's saying it's not stable enough to be a competitive esport.
And exactly.
That is kind of the problem right now is... They're going to be doing this, and during these live streams, if they have these bugs,
for example,
coming out,
during the live stream today, Greg could not get out of the car he was in. He was in the car, and he's like, "I'm trying to get out of the car." Yeah. It took like 3 seconds to get out of the car. But this is the problem, and I don't think we covered this last week. They are going to be putting so much fuel into getting BR set. I don't think they're going to give it a care. They're not going to give a care about the actual game because Battle Royale has to be so unbelievably polished because guess what? If this is a failure at TwitchCon, Daybreak is screwed.
It's going to be a lot of bad PR.
They're going to be screwed because this is at Twitch's event. They've got Alienware and Razer sponsoring this event. This is not good. This game and Level Up Audio, he hit the nail right in the head. This game is not ready. It's not stable enough, stable enough for the limelight. I mean, Brian, they can't even do a live server patch without breaking the whole damn game.
Yeah, well, okay. So now what we did a BR this past week, and I thought it went really well. Like we did awesome. We got first place in a 2-man BR. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any major problems, but the problem was we didn't get a reward.
Yeah.
So at the very end, we get first place, and it's like, okay, there's no reward for us. And so it's not that the game was broken. It's just the reward system was broken. But I think they're going to have to really focus for, okay, so when is this coming up? 1 month
or yeah, so away? Yeah, we're about a month away from TwitchCon.
It's going to be a month of them polishing. I think they're going to be probably ignoring new content for the next month. I mean, they may put a few things in that don't have anything to do with BR, that maybe don't affect BR, but they're going to really have to just make sure it's stable. Because as you said, if this thing publicly just tanks on them, you know, if a live streamer who's in first place, you know, who's pushing for first place down to a couple, something happens, it's a game bug that kills them.
At the H1Z1 Invitational. I mean, that's the thing here. This is an H1Z1's event, right? This is the inherent problem here. If something goes wrong on here, Twitch looks bad, H1Z1 looks bad, Razer looks bad, and Alienware looks bad, because this game just inherently is having problems. So, you know, if this was a Daybreak Games event, and the event went haywire and there was a bug in the game and the rewards weren't laid out, then whatever. But the fact that this is running on the coattails of TwitchCon, it just screams disaster waiting to happen. Does it not?
Well, I mean, if they can pull this off, and I do give them credit that they have been getting better. I mean, remember what patches used to be, to where, I mean, right now we run into things and we say it's unplayable, but I mean, it's playable. Things aren't 100% broken. It used to be they do some patches and just nothing would work. I mean, they did have one like a week ago, week and a half ago, where the lag was so bad that we were standing in a building and everyone saw everyone at different places in the building.
Yeah, that was the desync that was in place after the patch.
Yeah,
that was
so,
the problem.
I mean, that is a major bug. I don't know what they're implementing to try to, you know, that's causing that, but I mean, they did fix it within a reasonable amount of time. So, you know, if they can polish this for the next month.
It's great that they fixed it in a reasonable amount of time, Brian. But they had just made a post the same day that they were testing all of their builds on the test servers. How is that the case? How are you testing your builds on the test server with... How is that desync not present on the test server unless, which I have said since day one, and I still believe is true, their test server environments and their live server environments are two different environments. They need to be duplicate servers. They need to be duplicate networks. Everything needs
now,
to be the same, same hardware.
Weren't they transitioning at that time, though? Wasn't that like the transition between the regular patch cycles versus when they announced that they're going to start doing this more, let's get something stable and then roll it out?
Possibly.
Because maybe, I mean, that might have been like kind of the stutter step at the beginning of this process.
Yeah, but did they not? The problem is they didn't test. They did not test that patch that they rolled live. You can't do updates to a game and not test stuff. It just doesn't work.
Someone made a comment that you know, one dev went on vacation and the game went downhill, but that wasn't a dev, right? That's their marketing guy.
Yeah, and they announced an event, and their PR guy's out of the office for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of their biggest PR things that they've done so far that I can think of. One of the biggest, hey, you know, this is publicly talking about it, and their PR guy's not even there. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to sit here and bash Daybreak. Let's not take it as that. But this, I almost feel like the company isn't ready for H1Z1.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't think they're ready. There's so many things. I don't think it's going to work, Brian. I feel like this H1Z1 Invitational is going to be and you know, whatever. You know, call me a pessimist if you must. Call me whatever you want. This company and this game are not ready for H1Z1 in San Francisco.
Yeah.
They're not ready for it. They're just not. It's not going to happen. It will not go flawlessly. I mean, they can't even produce.
Well,
can't
you
can
say that, but I mean, they've got a month to prepare for this.
Well, look at what's
changed. It's not like it's that far off base right now. I mean, if they just have got to not break anything between now and then and polish what they have.
But the problem is they're going to be polishing stuff that isn't that. I mean, what about the leaderboards for BR? When are those finally going to be turned on? They've been in the game for over a month now, almost 2 months now, right?
Yeah.
And they're still
supposedly
not,
that's on the test server right now.
Well, whoop-de-doo. It was supposed to be on a month ago.
But okay, during the live stream, they did talk about the pre-patch live stream, right?
They mentioned the fact of a pre-patch live stream.
When this pre-patch live stream happens, that patch has got to have the leaderboards in there.
Yeah, and so it's going to the test servers, but it was supposed to be in the game a month and a half ago. Something like that, a month ago.
Damn.
It was supposed to be working in-game a month ago. You know, how is this going to happen? I don't understand how this event's going to happen.
It may go very well. I mean, this will be an interesting thing to see. I mean, coming that time, where the game is, because I have seen them do 180s in a month's time before. Yeah, I mean, if you look at when the game before was totally unplayable, within a month's time, they had made a radical change. And they brought a lot of people back. Right now, I mean, we're coming out of a period where a lot of people stopped playing. If over the next month they really polish this, but a lot of people are playing, and it seems like they're really playing BRs. I mean, they've got to be playing BRs. So there's a ton of people playing BRs. Be interesting to see where they go. I mean, if during the next month they continue to grow, all these streamers are preparing for this, and they're streaming it a ton, we may see the numbers grow and grow up to that month point.
Yeah. You know, Brian, and it really is coming down to, it's going to come down to how well they can do at an event like this. And you know, maybe I'm wrong. Call me wrong here. Maybe they do this event perfectly fine and everything goes great and H1Z1 is this great success. But this game is still inherently broken. There are still issues that are plaguing H1Z1 that have been plaguing H1Z1 for months now. And you know, it's just so great. This let's say this event goes great and all these people get back and playing H1Z1. When the game is still broken, they're going to get pissed off again and then they're going to leave again. It's never going to end. It's going to be the exact same thing that happened before. The TwitchCon is going to spread this great limelight on the game. Look at how great H1Z1 is. We're giving away, you know, $80,000. They're going to go play the game and it's going to be broken still.
Well, I don't feel that. I don't feel that way. I think that, you know, we've just started on this progress of them changing how the rollouts happen with the with patches, right? I really think that if they start and they use that as a motivational tool to start getting these patches out and making everything grow, you know, they could get to where they're releasing stable things every patch, because that's going to have to be their emphasis, is to not release between now and then a buggy patch onto the live servers.
Yeah. I mean,
because Z Jordan in chat saying they always add things without thinking about it. They're for the next month, they're going to have to think about it a lot before they add something. They can't afford to just throw something in there without being prepped for it.
Yeah. I just don't think here's another thing, and we'll get into this a little bit later. Actually, you know, screw it, we can get into it right now. They're moving to a new studio.
Yeah.
So they've got TwitchCon coming up. They're working on a new studio. You've got important people out of the office for 2 weeks when they're announcing stuff. I mean, this just doesn't scream company and game that is ready for the limelight, Brian. It just doesn't scream it.
Well, and I find it odd that a company is so reliant on one person. Normally, if someone takes a vacation in most larger companies, you don't notice. Like, there's other people picking up and doing those jobs. But when certain things aren't being posted on Reddit, like notifications and regular things, because someone is on vacation, That to me is strange.
Well,
I don't see why someone else could pick that up.
You know what? Let's talk about this. Let's just talk about it. We were not supposed to talk about those shirts that we talked about 2 weeks ago. We were never informed by Daybreak until after we had done the show not to talk about the shirts.
Yeah.
We have been doing this show for over 6 months every day, or every week, the same time every week for over 6 months.
Yeah. I mean,
There was just inherent problems here. You know? I mean, it's just, I don't see how this is going to happen.
But yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of, and people are saying, well, you know what, like two other people filled in for him the last 2 weeks, but there were things that went unresolved for 2 weeks because he was gone. Like, we wrote him an email and it never got replied to because he was gone. Someone else should be filling in those shoes. And I think it's just, I think it's kind of odd.
Yeah. There's a lot of communication problems. I think there's even communication problems from within the company. I don't have any inside information here, but it just doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like the team is flowing well, right? No. It's not that big of a team either. That's the thing. What is it? 30, 40 people maybe?
And they may be growing. I mean, I'm hoping that them moving to this new studio is because they're bringing on more people.
Well, that's my hope,
hopefully they've outgrown where they're at.
But if that's the case, if they're having problems working together in a group of 30 or 40, what is it going to be like when they're working in a group of 60? And African Jesus is saying in chat, it seems like everyone is kind of sanctioned and sectioned off. Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like somebody says one thing, somebody says another thing, and it's like the inside of the company, those ideas like don't get said. I'm astonished.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to have to do. I mean, Smedley left. Things did get shook up somewhat. I don't know how much restructuring there is going to be between, because I mean, they have no new CEO now. You would assume that things are going to start changing.
Which, again, we haven't heard of anything.
But I haven't heard anything realistically changing because of that. They did change the patch cycle, but realistically, is that from them?
But I'm not even saying that. He hasn't put a post on Reddit. I don't think he's tweeted anything useful.
But don't you think that's better?
No, I don't. I mean, I think...
You think he should be public? I don't think the CEO needs to be very public.
I don't... Okay, very public and public are two different things. This, their whole thing is they want to be transparent. They want to be open. You know, why didn't he do an AMA on the H1Z1 subreddit? Hey, this is who I am. This is what I've done. I'm now, you know, the CEO of the company or whatever. Now, he hasn't made a single post on Reddit. I'm not saying he needs to be doing the stuff that Schmed was doing, but
There should be a healthy balance between what Schmedley was. I would say Schmedley was, and what he is doing right now. I mean, right now he's doing nothing. And then there was Schmedley, who was overly vocal about everything.
Yeah, it's just there are a lot of inherent problems with the game, and I think with the company. And I'm not trying to come off here and trying to attack Daybreak, but this stuff just... It just keeps adding up. And then they just keep throwing new stuff into the mix. Like, hey, we're going to be at TwitchCon.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So...
Well, I'm hoping that it goes really well. I mean, personally, I want this game to be a success. And that's personally one reason I give so much input of, hey, I think you guys should do this. Because I want them to be successful. It's not like I'm sitting back here and saying, all right, I'm hoping this is the Titanic and we're going to hit an iceberg here and watch the whole thing go down so we can comment on it. that's not my goal here. I want this to be successful. I want to see this game hit, I guess, if you could say that, and just really take off.
Of course. I mean, we would not be doing this show hoping that we're not a tabloid waiting for the next H1Z1 mistake so that we can cover it. That's not our goal. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen here, Brian.
Tactical Myth says he has his popcorn ready if it does.
All right, well, yeah, in flames off a cliff. Yeah, there you go. I don't know. That's a little insight to what I think we're feeling, Brian, and I think what a lot of other people are feeling.
Yeah.
I don't feel at this point with issues in the game an event stream that's going to be watched by hundreds of thousands of people across the world is the right move at this point in time. That's I think what it rolls down to.
And now Hanny, he made the prediction that right after this they're going to take BRs from being free to play.
Oh, perfect.
I mean that's his guess. I'm not saying that, you know, he's saying that this is guaranteed true
there's no BR doesn't even work enough now for them to break it Could you imagine paying to play BR and not getting a rewards? How pissed would you be?
Well, I mean it'd be like when you buy a key and then nothing
comes up. You don't get anything.
Yeah. Or you get the same key over and over again. You know, I mean, that's, or this is not the same key, but the same skin over and over again. See, Handy says he was trolling, but
would you be surprised?
But I'm saying, like, if they got it polished enough, they were talking about doing it. If they feel like at the end of the month that it is incredibly polished, I mean, they've been pushing the game on Steam. Right now it's on sale again, right?
It's off sale now. It was on sale yesterday. Okay. That's what I was checking.
I'm assuming coming up to that, it's going to be on sale. They're really going to push through that week of people playing, push selling the game. And then, you know, if they feel like it's polished, when they feel like it's polished enough, that's when they're going to start charging for BRs. Are they going to feel like at the time when it's streaming on this very large event that it's going to be polished enough?
I mean, personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it'll be ready in time.
Let's say they get it to the point where it's incredibly stable by TwitchCon.
Possibly. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. I've never thought about that. I didn't think BR
KCX,
was... Go ahead.
KCXAV makes a good point. Smedley was the one who made that comment. Like, remember, he was the one who said, all right, this is, we're going to make it to where you had to start using these tickets to use this. And then they had to back off of that because there was so much outrage. But Smedley was the one who wrote that email. It'd be interesting to see what is their point of view, because we haven't heard a public statement of their point of view on that topic since Smedley left.
And that's what I was talking about, Brian, when I said the fact of the CEO has been, or whoever is the CEO right now. I mean, the company has to have a CEO. Whoever is the current CEO, there's not been an open letter. There's not been a, hey, you know, I'm this person. This is what I think about. This is what we're doing. There's been nothing.
Yeah.
There's been nothing. The PR guy was out of the office. There has not been this whole transparency thing, which, you know, And people have said to me, Brian, well, you can't expect them to be transparent. They were the ones that wanted to be transparent. I didn't ask for the transparency. Their whole thing was, we're going to be transparent on everything in the game. So that was their thing that they put forward. And now they've made their audience expect transparency, and it's justifiable. You can't put through the precedent of transparency throughout the whole development of the game and then stop being transparent on stuff. Because that's the monster that you created.
Yeah,
it's not the community that's asking for it. It's something that you wanted in the development cycle of your game. You cannot pull back on. And I don't feel the transparency is there right now.
Well, they've been fairly silent. They're not making as many since he left. They're not making these radical public statements, it seems like. Which maybe that's what they came to the decision of. Hey, we should stop saying so many blunt public things. If they would say things a little more polished, I'm fine with that. It's not that saying something incredibly polished, that's not meaning you're not transparent.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't mean you're... You can say something polished and still be transparent. Just say the truth in a correct way, because it seems like they're constantly apologizing for what they just said.
Yeah. You know... Them posting their little patch stuff, you know, great. But they used to be much more open, right? I mean, Smedley used to post everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
He'd post on, like, every hour about something.
We used to have his Twitter feed on the right-hand sidebar of our website. Because there would be, you would refresh the page, and every 5 minutes there would be a new tweet from him.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, we're having an issue right now. We found out it's a server. We're swapping out that server right now. You know, it should be done in the hour. Today, I don't think we would hear that. Like, who would be the one saying that? It'd be afterwards, a couple days later, saying, oh, yeah, a server crashed. He was the one who would be very, like, hey, here's what's happening this exact moment. It seems like there's a lot less. It's always like, hey, in the office, we're talking about this. Anything you see now on Reddit is, you know, we've been mulling this over in the office, and now we want your input on it.
Yeah. And KCXIV is saying he overpromised everything. That was another problem. And maybe that has something to do with the transparency too, Brian. I mean, they promised us the world, right? And we haven't seen anything, but I can get over that. I can definitely get over that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Well, this is a week-to-week thing with them. That's one thing I've learned is it seems like from week to week this changes.
I mean, last week we had a book written about the new series, about the new map. We had a book written about something else too on Reddit. And this week it's dead. There's nothing. There's like two patch notes.
But that's what it seems like they're so reliant on one person doing that or two people doing that. They need to make a procedure that people are inputting into some, you know, public document that's going to be going out. And not relying so much, because if one person slacks off of it for that week, we don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's just the raw, and I'm not sure this is in everybody's cup of tea what we're doing right now, but this is the raw feeling. I mean, it's so frustrating when you want this game to succeed, which, you know, speaking from myself and Brian, we do. We want this game to succeed. And then, you know, it just, I don't know. I just don't feel good. I don't feel good about the game, and I don't feel good about the company right now.
Well, and like, okay, so Tactical Myth brings up Sebastian, for instance.
Sebastian is, we love Sebastian. He is constantly.
But he didn't put out a post all week until today, like a little bit ago.
Yeah, but again, that's not his job.
Yeah, and so, but he's doing it at least once a week.
Yeah.
He's putting out something for his department saying, here's a graphic thing. Check this out. That keeps kind of the feel going in the fire. But that's what I'm saying. They need a document for each department, something that they're putting out publicly for each department. Maybe not rely it down to one person, but hey, the graphics department, the anti-hack department, let's put out something every week. Treat it like a post on the website or whatever. Yeah. But your goal is to put out something that is meaningful that week, you know, something about what you've been doing, something that's coming up, but do it every week.
And Falcon's Watch is saying in chat, the PR guy needs to be the public relations guy. I mean, I'm all for these guys building their Twitter, but you know, I just don't understand how the PR guy is gone for 2 weeks when they announce the TwitchCon thing. I mean, that just doesn't mix.
Man.
You know, it's just, and I'm not trying to seem like I've run a game company before, but I just think it's all of this stuff that adds up that just creates a train wreck. So we can end it there, but it's just so frustrating, unbelievably frustrating. The communication is not good inside and outside of the company. And it's just gotten to me.
Yeah.
It's just gotten to me. So I guess we can leave it with that. Because there were a few updates this week, and it was interesting, Brian.
The day after our show last week, they put out a pretty big patch.
Now, remember, we were saying at the end of last week's show how the patch wasn't going to be that same night. And
it's going to be the next day.
And, of course, it was the next day. Something interesting about this patch, I don't know if this means anything or if I'm looking too far into it, but this is the first post in a really long time that they didn't make a Reddit post, Brian. They just linked to their Daybreak Forums post. So yeah. I don't know if they're trying to move away from Reddit, because then they made more Reddit posts later on in the week. So I don't know what that was all about, but they did a post on their forum website, and then they just linked it over to Reddit. So this was the patch that we were waiting for that had some of the H1Z1 invitational stuff. So the new crate was available for the H1Z1 invitational. They added the 16 character passcodes for the doors, which is nice. It's a little more secure than the 4-number passcode.
Because people can't use, well, they could, but they're not going to use those password generators now, because if you have any form of 16 characters, that would take a long time.
It's not like a website that you can brute force. You have to be logged into the game.
Yeah.
And be standing in front of a gate or a door. So that's not really going to be a problem. I mean, Brian, I remember really, really far back, we broke into somebody's shack by guessing the code. It was like 0808.
We walked up to it and somebody put in a code and there it was.
Yeah, it was like 1234 or you know, the 4-3-2-1, and we took all their stuff. So that's not going to be a problem anymore. And hopefully this is kind of the next step into them working farther into a clan system, having a more secure password for a clan system. So that's good there. The new hints on the loading screen, the loading screen's a little bit different now. There is a spinning GIF, I guess you could say, in the bottom of the screen, and there's a few more hints. I think there's like 5 or 6 hints.
It's like some sort of a toxic symbol on the loading screen that spins.
Yeah, it spins, right? Animated.
And it seems like it pulses as well. I mean, I think they can polish that a little bit more. I'm not really happy with the look of that, but I mean, I'm not going to sit here and complain all day about
about the loading screen.
Yeah.
So some new graphic controls for the inventory system as well. The loading screen spinner we talked about. They've done some adjustments to the VoIP display, so the chat on the left-hand side, and that seems to be a little more improved. It doesn't seem like when you're talking, there's
I haven't noticed them stacking
names
on top of each other.
Exactly. Yeah, so. That was the problem. You'd have 4 names on top of each other trying to talk, and you really couldn't see who was talking. And then this is interesting. They added base security systems that requires doors to be removed before accessing an enclosed area. They wrote this in the post for the 12th.
I know this is something that they were struggling with.
But now I saw a post again on Reddit today of some guy's base getting no clipped into. So I don't know if it's actually in place, if it's working, if the guy in the video stated it incorrectly. But there was a pretty high up post on Reddit today about somebody getting no clipped into.
So this is something that can be tricky, because if you look at what they're considering a breach, if someone's sitting there opening and closing the door when that person is in the area, how is it going to register that that person shouldn't be in there? You know, if someone no clips in when someone had just opened and closed the door, wouldn't that register as, hey, this person maybe has the right to be in the room?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that whole system works.
And also, how's that going to work for people that stack the bases next to each other and are jumping from base to base, you know, treating it like one base?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to...
Then if they walk into the other one, they won't be able to loot the containers, right?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to put the door code in. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to.
But remember how people were doing it to where on the second level, you could pretty much walk over and then come down the stairs?
Yeah.
Connecting multiple bases? I wonder how this is going to affect people that are putting those bases together.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure if this is implemented currently. Because it says it's in here.
It says it, but I haven't noticed it.
I haven't noticed it. And,
I don't know clips, so it's kind of hard for me to...
That's the hardest problem with this stuff, and I think I made the joke last week about it. It's so hard for us to test this stuff, because you know, unless we're no clipping or speed hacking or aimbotting, you can't see what's going on. So they say it's in the game. There was a post on Reddit today that may have been conflicting that. We'll wait and we'll see if that's actually implemented.
And Hanny's saying that foundations will snap together soon, which would solve that problem.
Yeah. Now, there is a bunch of bug fixes in this, Brian, but I know we covered a lot of these last week because they were in the patch thing.
The test server.
I think we should just skip by them. They're not really important. There's nothing really that's jumping out here. It's just some minor bug fixes, but we covered a lot of them last week. And for the people that listen every week, it's the same stuff.
Now, one thing I'm going to make a comment on, they put a note in here that they were changing some of the sounds, so like the hold breath sound. I've noticed in game that they have made changes to like the door opening and closing sounds.
Yeah.
Personally, I like the new sounds a lot more.
Yes.
Seems
it's
like
cool.
They weren't putting as much of an emphasis on those sounds, but for me, I'm constantly talking about immersion.
Yeah. And you know, Brian, this is the first time immersion actually struck me was when I got back and playing the game a little bit. When you open that front gate and it sounds like it's like a medieval gate, you can hear like it closing, you hear like the metal clack. And the other doors have that different sound too. That's the first time I think I've experienced quote unquote immersion in this game. I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. Like you can hear, and if you're standing inside the base, you can hear, all right, somebody's coming in through the front door because there's a big metal clash when the door's opening and closing.
Yeah.
So that quote unquote immersion, I think I felt that firsthand, at least this week with that stuff.
Now, they did make a note that they have changed weapon images and texture adjustments, but I'll have to look. I notice once in a while I'll look at a gun and it seems like the color has changed on different parts of it. And I'm like, was that like that before? I'll have to look at side-by-side details because they have been updating a lot of the coloring of the graphics. And I think they're actually, it might be in one of these upcoming notes too. But they've been changing some of the textures in-game, maybe to make things a little more bright or maybe not so repetitive. Mm-hmm. But they didn't say specifically which one. So I remember when I went in a couple of days ago, I was looking for those, just trying to see like what stands out to me.
Yeah. Now there's another cool thing here that Casey XIV posted in chat. He said that the animation when you blow up bases, which we haven't done in a while now, he said that there's a new animation for that, and we can show that here. The base almost looks like it's on fire. It's not like an individual little fire pocket. Like there's fire and there's smoke, and it actually looks like the base is on fire. From what these got from this screenshot, so that's a nice feature as well.
Yeah, giving it a little more of that realism and it looks like are those people on fire? It looks like there's a person back there.
It's possible. Austin W looks like he might be on fire.
I don't know. Or Eddie may just be standing in front of fire.
Yeah, most likely standing in front of the fire.
This is probably helping them to fix some of the lag and things that you experience. They're probably optimizing the fire more. Because the way they were doing it before, I mean, you would go and blow up a base and everything
two
would just
come loose.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be running around where you're like, okay, if I time this right, I can actually make it up the stairs.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So they're adding some stuff. I mean,
the kind of thing they need to be doing these tweaks in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
These are the things that, hey, you know, have someone work on the fire effects, have someone, and then when it's ready, don't promise it beforehand. Just like this, release it.
Yeah.
And don't tell us, hey, we're going to be redoing all the fire effects, because then we get the daybreak soon, which we're like, okay, yeah. So in 2 months, we're going to get fire.
And let me, and you know, I'll say this time and time again, I'm not expecting them to release a, to them to hit a home run every single week with every single patch note. Like, there doesn't need to be this, oh my God, look at this new feature. But they're being consistent, they're updating bugs, but a lot of it's just the same, and I'm going to say the same crap that they keep doing every week, just the same little tweaks and modifications. Not crap in terms of it's not good, but it's just the same stuff over and over again. Little server-side tweaks, little gun tweaks, player tweaks, stuff like that. That's just getting a little old. So we had an urgent live update, Brian. This is like breaking news. We had the big urgent live after there were some issues here. This was on the 14th, so this was Friday.
Yeah.
And they did maintenance on Friday, I believe. And then there were some issues with the update where people weren't getting the updates and you're having to validate the game file, it looks like. I actually didn't have this problem. And then they locked BR and they did something with that as well. But they did some gameplay tweaks as well. So
I think they had changed it accidentally because I heard a lot of complaints about the bullet drop. Mm-hmm. There was a change in the bullet drop. And it seems they said on here, they put a change was pushed out an order of magnitude too high. So it's been reverted back to its previous values. So that's kind of, does that read right to you? A change was pushed out an order of magnitude too high.
I don't know. So, all I know, all
a normal sentence.
What I can tell from this is they tried doing something. It didn't work. So they,
rolled it back to
they
its
rolled
previous
it back
setting.
To where it was. Exactly.
I mean, was the bullet going, was it not dropping enough? Or was it maybe going, I just don't understand what they're trying to say, with an order of magnitude too high.
I have no clue what that means.
So,
they
reverted back the bullet drop. And then the fade to red screen effect as you get hurt was adjusted to be more subtle because it was really bad. Like, you would get hurt and it was a little bit too much. So they also have totally removed it from BR games. I guess because you're more likely to take damage, so they don't want it to where your screen's turning red like crazy.
Yeah. And now this is another one.
Team Fam is saying that it was rising. So.
Oh, nice.
instead of dropping, the bullet was going up.
Maybe that's why I was having a problem getting some headshots in game. Stupid game fault.
I'm sure that's why you missed.
Not my crappy aim. This UI thing, the fact that they did this, they put in here a code that you can add to your user options any file. And this was to hide the banner broadcasts.
Well, everything was being duplicated for a while, which was making it super annoying.
They put
a note in here that they actually fixed that as well. But we've been complaining that these banner broadcasts will fly by so fast, first of all, in BRs.
You can't see them.
You can't even see them. So what's the point of having them up there? So they're going to be adding that to the UI, and then they're going to hop. It says, once we add it to the option of the UI, we will hot fix the client to make it easier. So they're going to make it probably in the settings file. Once you're in the settings options, you can go and check this box and make it so you don't have to see those broadcasts anymore.
Yeah, and then the crazy arms
they put in here should be less crazy.
Yeah.
But they are still not quite right. But I was running around where my arm was in my back.
But it's interesting to hear the reason. It was the animation was getting out of sync. So it was like desync. The animation was desyncing from the server, which is pretty interesting. And then you were getting the shoulder twisted, and that's when, you know, your arm would be.
But even after this patch, I noticed that it's still like I'm running around with a gun and my hand is like in my hip. It's still not quite the animation of that is not quite right yet.
Yeah. But it should be less crazy. So they must have found something that they did or didn't do that made the animation, I guess, sync more or cause it not to get out of sync as much.
Mine was pretty consistently out of sync.
For how long?
So the whole game. Like I do a BR and my the second I pick up a gun, my arm is not holding the gun out in front of me. Like the back of the gun is in my hip and I'm just running with my hand going into my side.
Okay. So this is a constant issue for you.
Yeah. For me, I noticed it pretty regularly. I mean, I noticed it every game. So I wasn't looking for it the second that I picked up a gun. Hey, you know, did this happen? But every game I saw it.
Yeah. So now, Brian, let's jump on over to Saturday. The last post was Friday. This is Saturday now. So they're in the office. They're working on stuff. This Saturday was when we played BR, right? Or was it Sunday?
Yes.
Saturday was when we played
Saturday.
BR. So this Saturday was when Brian and I, we played a few two-man BRs together. But we had the problem, and this post was made because they just weren't giving rewards out in Team BR. Now, I tweeted something. I'll get the exact tweet here because I was honestly pretty pissed off. And my tweet was, gotta love winning Team BR and not getting any rewards. Thanks, H1Z1 Game. And we got a tweet back from Brad Wilcox, who basically said that there's a fix that they're testing internally with QA. And they thought that the items may have been queued on the server, but they just weren't getting dispersed to the players.
Yeah.
If that was the case, which I don't think it was, because we would have gotten our rewards by now, when they had updated the patch, that it would have given everybody their stuff. I didn't check today. I don't know if you did, Brian. So I don't know if
I haven't looked
rewards.
Yet.
I didn't check today. I was busy and that wasn't on the top of my priority, but that was a big problem. But they said even if that doesn't work, they can look at the logs.
And see who actually
exactly,
won.
And see. And the Team Fam is saying that he won a BR during the H1Z1 stream, I think he's saying, and got the items.
So I think it's fixed now. I just think there was a time.
But
a
even on
time.
Saturday, there were people that saying they were winning rewards. So,
I won a reward a little bit before that.
We won a reward in the game before that, I think, or the two
but,
games
but
before
we weren't
that.
First place. Yeah. We were like fifth place or something. And so on that one, we got in the top 10 rewards, but we didn't get the first place reward. So I'm wondering if this is specifically hitting those first place rewards.
Possibly. But either way, they will be granting lost rewards from the data logs if that's what they needed to do. The server lag was a really big problem, and it's been since last Tuesday, to the point where we stopped playing because the lag was pretty unbearable.
Yeah.
and the invisible player thing just came back again. And you know, we've been playing some other games, to be honest with you, as a group.
Some Minecraft.
Yeah, we've been playing Minecraft as a group, and for, you know, everybody can sit here and dog on Minecraft, but you know, we're just trying to keep the group active, and we've had more people playing Minecraft the past 2 or 3 days than we've had on H1Z1 in a while.
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
So that's been interesting, but we're trying to keep our group alive and active so that when H1Z1 is back up and ready to go, you know, we'll be able to hop back on that. And Hanny is making a really good point in chat right now, Brian, and this is something that I experienced as well. There are not enough people in Team BR.
Yeah.
And I was saying this to Brian when we were playing.
Yeah, because we did a number of games, and we noticed this, and you made a comment during the game about this.
I made a comment during the game that if I was streaming this, it would have been boring as hell, I think were my exact words, because we just sat there. We ran
around looking for people. We got the airdrop. We got an airdrop every single game.
And we didn't see a single person.
Didn't see anybody.
The only time, so we played 2 or 3 BRs. In one BR, Brian killed like 3 people in a house. And then in the one that we came in first place, we killed 2 guys. But it was after the zone was closing. So we went for a crate. We had a car. And we were in Rancho Taquito, and we didn't see a single person until the smoke started getting... Actually, the last 2 guys we killed, it was like top 10.
Yeah.
So we didn't see a single person. We were just driving on the map. We flipped a car. We got a crate and an airdrop, and we didn't see a single person. They need to make... And this is what I proposed to Brian. Once the new map is set up and the cities are much larger... And, you know, let's say Pleasant Valley is currently, or Pleasant Valley is like 3 times its size. There needs to be the two-man BR needs to be in Pleasant Valley.
Yeah.
Like, just Pleasant Valley. You know, have 200 people in Pleasant Valley or 100 people in Pleasant Valley, you know, depending on how big the city is. That would fit the need.
I don't remember if I talked about this during the show or if this was just us talking together, but I had made the comment that they really need to, once they get these maps really populated, make it so that a BR focuses, like different matches will focus on a town. So if you're going to do these BRs, make it so that these teams drop in a smaller area around these very large towns that they're building. And then have it to where, you know, the smoke closes in very quickly on that area. You know, there's not really a big risk that unless someone really tries to deviate from where they're landing, that they're going to be in the smoke right away. But it would force those people to come in and you'll have those interactions.
Well, Brian, if you remember the hardcore BR when they first launched that, everybody spawned in the same spawn point for the most part.
And Team Fam, he gave us an update. He says he did not get the reward.
Well, there you go. I don't... Who knows? But they need to... If they're going to do a two-man BR, there needs to be like 200 two-man teams, right? There needs to be 400 people in the game. Because the current map size doesn't fit... You know, what is there, 100 people in a game or 200 people in the game? There's just not... There's not enough... There's too much space.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you drive a... We drove a smoking car around. A smoking car.
And we still didn't see anybody.
We still could not see people. We're a moving smoke trail. And the only reason we got rid of the car is because we flipped it and it blew up.
Yeah.
So it's just pretty insane when you think about it. And it's been a problem for a while, but I didn't really start noticing it until there was the two-man BRs. But other than that, you know, enough complaining about it, I think the two-man BRs work really well, Brian. We spawn together... Or you know, you and your teammate will spawn together. The spawn process is pretty good. Now, the one thing that's still annoying is that everybody still doesn't spawn in at the same time.
Which I know is a problem for you. Always way ahead of me, which I don't know what it is.
Because you have better internet than me.
I have excellent internet. I've got a fast computer. The only thing I can think of is you have a much better video card than I have.
But I don't think.
But why should that affect that so much?
Yeah,
I really think that they need to get it to where there is a loading screen when people are actually loading in there before they can start dropping, because there's some people that are on the ground and I'm only halfway down.
Yeah, well, that's what the proposed thing that I think I was even on Reddit a while ago was, like a plane door open. So like everybody's in the plane door and a video's playing and, you know, you open the hatch and you jump out. But everybody queues in that plane.
And everybody actually gets out of the plane at the same time.
Exactly.
But it's kind of like a wait, like they're up there. Maybe it's an animation of them waiting mm-hmm. in the plane.
Exactly.
The second that the majority of people that's not super lagged are to the point of loading, all right, drop them out of the plane.
Exactly. Like, and the problem that we see with this is we've got people in our group, Brian, and I know firsthand with them, they have older computers and not great internet. They can't play VR.
Yeah.
You know, the people are on the ground in fully gear before the time that they spawn in. And Strez is saying, and this is an interesting idea, spawning on the ground with the teammates. And Brian, you proposed this to me. The five-man VR should be like that. You should spawn in a group of five somewhere for the five-man VR. On the ground, in a location, and there's groups all around you, but you spawn in on the ground. Because the parachute thing is, with the sync delay, it doesn't work. I mean,
see, but people are going to sit here and complain if you start on the ground about where they start. Like, they're going to be like, oh, I lost this one because I started out in this building.
But you get screwed even out of the plane because you have no control. You have no control over the parachute. You can't be a Cranberry and get over to Pleasant Valley off the jump.
Yeah. But you feel like you have some control, though, as far as where you end up.
But a little bit. But just you're in the same general area, you know, then fine. Maybe spawn five people, you know, kind of triangulate them a little bit.
So Level Up Audio, he makes a good point. What if you started people out on the ground, but then you had a certain amount of time to run away before people can shoot each other? Like, there's a period of time where you can't kill each other for the first like 10 seconds.
Well, I mean,
let you get out of a room. If you see somebody across from you or spawn too close.
Well, the team VR thing, I would imagine that they would break up the map into chunks and spawn it that way. That's how I think, that would work. And Team Fam is making a good point. The parachute helps with enemy positions. That's true as well. But I'm thinking for five man VR. I'm not saying for single player or two man, but for five man VR, I think that's a viable option.
Yeah.
So that's my little BR rant there. It's a lot of fun though. Hop on with somebody else, friend.
And that is one thing that you're not going to see with this invitational. All these computer systems are going to be they're going to be the exact same systems on the exact same connections.
Who knows, Brian?
I'm assuming they're going to have all the same stuff to where people should be spawning out at the same time. But real world, that's not how it works. So I think long term, they're going to have to figure out a way to make it so that regardless of whether or not you have an i7 top of the line gaming computer versus, you know, an i5 with a decent graphics card, that you still have a similar chance of being able to spawn at the same time.
Exactly.
After that, you know, whatever happens.
And for that H1Z1 invitation, I don't know if it's going to be a Razer computer or an Alienware computer, because they're both sponsors for the invitation.
I think that they are Alienware's is what I saw.
Oh, okay.
Because I saw them make a post that kind of said something about Alienware computers.
Okay, well then maybe it'll be Alienware.
Maybe they'll do Alienware computers with some Razer components.
There you go, Razer peripherals. One other last thing. Stuck on the loading screen in VR was something that we ran into as well. And it was weird, Brian, because I want to hear your perspective from this. I was stuck on the loading screen the entire game. But, Brian, in game, you saw that I was alive, and I don't know what place we came in or anything, because it still showed that my character was alive, right?
Yeah, it showed that you were still in game. It didn't show the little symbol saying that you were dead. And when I died, it said, you still have a chance to win.
So we waited for like 20 more minutes, but then at that point I just imagined that somebody else had the same loading screen bug, and it was just going to be whoever's going to sit there the longest. And I was ready to queue up into another game, so we moved on.
But because the rewards aren't working, we can't really go in and look and see what we won,
or if we won. I have no clue what happened.
Hopefully once they get this out, we'll have a pile of rewards.
Oh yeah, you know, maybe some trucker hats. Always some good stuff there.
Yeah.
So I think we jumped off. We were talking about the patch that they did on Saturday, and we kind of totally got off track there. But there were some more reports of the server lag and invisible players on this as well. And then there's a thing about the being stuck on the loading screen. It says if the spinner freezes, it may halt for 30 seconds at the current server load before continuing to load. So they're saying that even though the spinning thing may freeze, you're still going to get into the game.
Yeah.
It's just the loading screen.
And someone had asked why they didn't do like a bar or you know, some sort of percentage. I don't know that loading screen necessarily knows how soon you're going to be in the game.
Yeah, I think it's just an animated video or picture that just spins.
Because I think it's just waiting. It's not like, hey, you're guaranteed to have like a 10-second window of being in the game.
Yeah. So that's I don't know. I mean, you don't
think... I think they just want something so that you know that it's not frozen.
Yeah. Which in my case, the loading screen was spinning the entire time, but it still wouldn't let me into the game.
Yeah, that is weird. It's not like it was totally locked up or the black screen.
And then I got black screen once I pressed escape because I was pressing keys.
Infected Joe says the loading bars are a lie.
That is true. I mean, just look at
like the cake.
Just look at a Windows loading bar. I think it'll sit there for 45 minutes in the same spot when you're installing Windows, and it's like, is this frozen?
Well, I've got it before where it goes 100%, 101%, 102%.
Oh, very nice.
Just keep going.
Wonderful. So that was the Saturday patch, and then there was a edit on Sunday in the same post. That they're saying that they were adding more capability and they would be making more adjustments next week to help with server lag. I don't know what they did to cause this server lag, because, you know, from what we see, nothing major changed that would cause all of a sudden, you know, the game to be incredibly laggy server side. So they must have changed something in how the servers are running.
It would be possible for them to change, since they are trying to bring more like zombies and animals and things like that, those are running server side. So if they make an adjustment to that that doesn't go well, there is a chance that it'll lag down the server, because those are not running as it's not running on a separate server. Because I know Ferment made a suggestion to them saying, well, why don't you have the AI for the zombies and things be on a different server? And then they're more like characters on the server. You know, these things are all run on that server. So if they go through and overdo spawning in animals and zombies, there's a chance they could lag the server out, equivalent to having too many people on there.
Which might be what was happening, the past few days. So current status is, I don't know. There hasn't been a update note on Reddit since Saturday.
Yeah.
So they've been in the office 2 days or a day and a half. They did the stream today for the H1Z1 Invitational, but there has not been a post on Reddit
about patch notes.
Exactly. So there was a post from Greg that says that he's back from his 2 week vacation, which we talked about earlier. And then there's just a big thread about bugs, and it's all the typical stuff. So if you're interested in reading all that stuff, there'll be a post on the show notes at infectionpodcast.com, but it's a lot of the same stuff: the desync, the lag, the invisible players falling through the map. Just the same stuff that we've had for a really long time now. So other than that, Brian, you threw some stuff in here about errors logging in, and there was a funny Reddit post. Where this guy titled it error logging in, and this was 9 hours ago, so this was today. And there was an error completing his request to launch the game, and there's got to be, you know, 20 comments on here just saying same.
It's more like 48 comments of people saying all they put was same.
They just kept saying very same.
One person put in their combo breaker.
There you go.
So they could have something different. But a lot of people weren't able to log in. Of course, they did put on a note a little bit later in the day that they did fix that and to try again. So something happened early this morning to where they didn't put what. They just said, hey, if you're having trouble, try it again. It should be fixed.
Yeah. So that's all hopefully fine and dandy now. But I thought that was pretty funny. So, you know, it's weird. The Daybreak Twitter is active a little more now. But, you know, so we've been seeing some stuff on there. So maybe maybe the CEO is tweeting from the Daybreak account, Brian. Maybe that's what's going on.
But and that would be kind of smart. You know, this is the public stance of the company. It doesn't need to be so much of his personal opinion like we saw with Smedley.
Yeah. All right. So that is that's what's going on with that stuff. And let's get to the Invitational. This is the stuff that we were really questioning last week.
Yeah.
So
right now they're at 56,000. That has gone up. I think it was 54,000 when they were doing that live stream. Yeah, so it is growing. So it's $56,814 right now. And they've added, so they now have the post for that Shmoo Google, was the winner.
Shmoo Google, yeah.
So they have a picture of him. You can click a link and view some things about him. But they have added a lot of streamers to the list of people that are, it seems like it's grown. If you look at the bottom, some of the smaller pictures of all these streamers, they've added some new ones into there since the original post.
Yeah. Now, do you think, Brian, that I didn't think the prize pool was going to be this high. I even think we said last week we would have been.
You didn't think it was going to be this high.
So I feel like this may be inflated.
No.
I don't mean inflated in terms of them, but it's like $100,000 worth of keys that were purchased. That seems really high. Because it's only 25% of each key. So it's possible that some of the sponsors put some money into it. But this is a really respectable dollar amount now, because we had the Pistol Pete in our chat made the point last week that, you know, these streamers aren't going to, they're making $5,000 in donations in a single stream. So for them, $5,000 is nothing. But now we're getting up to, you know, we'll most likely we buy 60,000, you know, in a few days. You know,
and that's where I really want them to, it's got to be at least $100,000 for it to be a respectable tournament. I can't, if they're not going to get people back for under $100,000.
You don't think so?
No, it's got to be over that. And they're well on their way to doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Because this, like we said, this event's it's over a month. It's like the 25th and 6th of September. So, yeah, 25th and 26th of September. So we've still got a month and a few days until this event kicks off here. So did you say the current amount already? The exact amount?
Yeah, it's 56,814.
Yeah, you can see that over there on the, I said I was going to make a graphic, I think, and I totally forgot.
They made a graphic for you.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Wow, look at that. The magic of the internet. So you can see that.
So it's the 22nd is the cutoff date. September 26th is when it's happening. So we're a little over a month away. And that'll be really interesting to see. I hope it's $100,000 at least. And who knows, maybe some other sponsorships will come in and throw some money at this if they see that it looks like it's going to be successful. Because right now they've got the two sponsors. They've got Alienware and they've got Razer that are doing this. But if this starts to really take off, I mean, if they get to $200,000, why wouldn't another company that wants to be highlighted in this come and throw their name in the ring as well as far as being a sponsor and throw, you know, $50,000 at this?
Exactly.
If they think it's really a big thing.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of questioning where the money was coming from. I doubt $50,000 came from keys.
I think so.
You think so?
I do.
I don't think there's that many people playing.
I mean, they
keys.
Don't release those numbers, but I think there's a lot of people buying keys.
I think that there's a lot of people buying keys. So Hannah TV is saying it's $207,000
on keys that people have spent.
I don't think there's that many people. I don't think there's enough people playing buying keys.
But playing BRs? Yes.
I don't know. We'll get into the player statistics a little bit later.
Okay, so we have, for another topic, I know people have been asking in chat about this, but a game mode change.
Yeah, so this is something that I feel like I've heard this come up before, but there was another post on Reddit about it, about how, you know, the current game, like the current survival mode isn't really survival. So this post was thrown up here on Reddit and it talks about a few different game modes. And it's saying the current core which is what we have now for the survival game, would be a high density of survivors, lots of action, people always being the, currently what we have, and that would be called more of an action mode. So this would be for, you know, the player that doesn't want to almost spend as much time crafting. They just want to kind of get in, get their loot, and go and kill. The more first-person shooter.
And so we have a mix of people like this. I think people, if you really look at our group that are playing Minecraft right now, they're not these people.
Well, some of them.
But the ones that are playing Minecraft are mostly these survival guys.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing is the survival mode is going to be more towards survival gameplay, because there's been a lot of people giving feedback that they don't feel like this is a survival game.
Yeah, and that's the next game mode here. So the next game mode is survival. And this would be a new mode created. There would be a scarcity of supplies, guns, and ammo. And you know, the server caps would be much lower, so there would be not as many survivors in the area. There would still be PvP and stuff like that. But crafting would be more of a challenge because there's not going to be such a plethora of supplies. And it will be less deathmatch and KOS-y, and it will be more friendlier to people that just want to, craft and do that stuff. There will still be that PvP element if you want a PvP, but, for the people that want to sit and craft and kind of build up a base and do all that
things
stuff,
that
will be their game mode. Because right now, the game currently is that core game mode. The crafting really isn't important. It's just, it's KOS and deathmatch for the most part.
And it seems like it's really driven away the people that are really into the crafting and things like that.
Yeah, and then there will also be a karma system as well to identify KOSers and friendlies, but that would be under the survival game mode.
I think I would be more of a survival guy.
Yeah, now, that's interesting now, because now you're talking about a clan splitting up.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's people that, for me, I come from, first-person shooters, that kind of stuff. So
you're more of a core guy.
Exactly.
You're not wanting to sit there and work on the base and do all those
things. And it's not that I'm not sitting there and I'm not willing to do that, because I'm more than willing to do that. But,
That's not going to bring you back every week.
Exactly. Like, we've got, for example, he's in chat right now, Falcon. That's his thing. He death matches and stuff, but his big thing is building, right? He loves building. He's building skyscrapers in Minecraft, and he's doing the same thing on our bases in H1Z1. So, that tweaks to him. But now, what are we going to do about these clans now?
Yeah.
Because
I think they need to get this out and change the game modes before they implement the clan system.
Yes, exactly. Because, and I guess you would have to decide clan-wide what you want to do. Do you want your clan to be on a core game mode or on survival? Or maybe you're on both. Right? Maybe you're like, hey, we're going to log on core today, and we're just going to go in deathmatch, because that would be a nice thing too. Some days you go.
Yeah,
on
I mean that would allow you to sit there and kind of split up.
Yeah,
what you're doing. Everybody's going to do it together, but you can change from day to day what you're actually doing.
Yeah, and then there's a survival PVE, which is just it's the same thing that they have now. There's not a PVP element, but it's got the survival mode stuff without the PVP. So more to the current, what's it called? Currently called, just the
core.
regular PVE game mode that we have now, right?
Oh yeah, where you can't
kill
anyone.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't destroy any kind of building.
So the survival PVE is pretty close to what the PVE is right now, and then of course the BR, the solo, the two-man team, and the five-man team.
Yeah.
So
and I know that they're asking. We've had people that they've contacted personally. Asking for feedback on these things, like what do you see as far as survival? Like, what do you want to see in this game? And I think that's good that they're going out and contacting the more vocal people that have been saying, hey, I really want to play your game. Cause I know one of our guys who listens regularly, they actually contact and say, hey, what do you expect to see in survival? Because that's what's going to maintain a lot of our clan members long-term, is having something survival. There's only so much BR that you're going to do together. We want to do stuff that we're building and we're solving something together. I think that's what's going to bring them back.
Now, something else here, Brian, that I find pretty interesting here. Level Up Audio, who's been here the whole show so far, is saying, what are they going to do about the dead servers? And it's a valid concern. You look, what is it right now? all low pop servers. There's like one or two highs, and
it's almost mostly low pop, but the numbers are high, which is crazy.
So I think we go back to Brian. Is everybody playing BR?
That's what I keep hearing. I mean,
what do you think?
They've got to be. I mean, if the numbers are accurate that they're saying, which these are numbers from Steam.
Exactly.
These are not numbers from Daybreak saying, hey, here's how many people are playing right now. They've got to be accurate. There's got to be a lot of people. And that's the thing is we play BRs every once in a while. BR is not our focus. And so there's got to be a lot of people that don't really care about the survival part. They're just in there doing BRs. So if they can bring back the survival people and then maintain that BR audience that they have, that's going to be a lot of people playing this game.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's interesting, Brian, because like you just said, with our group, when we're not playing BR, we're playing another. Oh, when we're not playing survival, we're playing another game. Like, yeah. I don't think enough people in our group are interested in BR. I can tell you I'm not. It's fun to play two or three games, but I can't just play BR.
But there's people that are sitting there just doing BRs for 8 hours, and that's not us.
Yeah, that's not us at all. I don't know. It's interesting. And we'll get into the numbers in a little bit, but I don't know where the people are. Brian, you want to take this next one with the new... I want to hear, because I've already been negative about it. I want to hear your thoughts on...
Okay, so they're moving to a new studio, and they haven't really said why. Personally, I'm hoping it's because they're going to be hiring on more developers, and they don't have space for it. They haven't moved since this buyout, have they?
I don't think so.
Once they got purchased by this holding company, I haven't heard that they have actually moved. So I don't know if this is part of that. But I'm kind of thinking it looks like a nice place. But I'm hoping it's because they're bringing on more developers like we've asked for, and that they need to have the space to fit all these people. And so I've seen posts of them saying, hey, here's us touring the facility, but they are very much at the beginning stages. But it looks like a new studio. I mean, this looks like a new building because they're putting all the venting. This could be a good thing. I know that you're like, this is because of some negative reason, but I'm really thinking this is they're planning on bringing more people.
I don't think it's negative. It's just development's not going to be flying as well, right? I mean, they're gonna have to move in, right? They're gonna have to move all their stuff over, so you're gonna see a few days probably of nothingness.
This is gonna be a while. I mean, because if you look at the pictures, they're still a little ways out.
But I mean, you know, for example, I'm watching a guy now that's moving into a new warehouse with his company, and they've been down and out and kind of working with a kind of a botch job setup for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
So hopefully hopefully their lease isn't expiring on the building they're currently in, so that they can move in here and not have to rush their stuff in there. But that stuff's going to take time to move all that stuff in and get everybody all set back up. So we'll have to see. We'll see what that means.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I'm wondering if this is going to be a full week of nothing with the game during this move.
It could be. I mean,
it seems like when things happen, the holiday happens, like everything shuts down. So I'm thinking for this week, like there's going to be a week of nothing happening in game because they're moving.
Yeah. I don't know.
I still think it's a couple months out.
I'm not arguing that this isn't a couple months, because if you're looking at the ceiling, Brian, Cat 5 is already strung. That blue cable's Ethernet. I mean, that's not something that they do early on. Plates, the cables.
Well, Hanny says that they've been working on this for 2 years, though.
But whatever, the idea has been floating for 2 years. You look at this picture right now. You've got Ethernet pulled through the walls. You need face plates. The Ethernet's already strung through the ceiling. The vent work is here.
I mean, they could have they could be moving in a month, but I'm hoping they're not moving in during the tournament.
This looks like it could be a month worth of work. Everything is sheetrocked.
It may be after the tournament that then they're going to move.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, we did this big thing. Let's have like a rest.
I have, I have firsthand helped move somebody into new office space or new space that looks something like that. That current state is, you know, if you've never looked at something like that, you're like, wow, that's a total disaster. That's coming close to the end. And the first thing that jumped out at me was they already have Ethernet strong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something you do early on in the process.
Level Up Audio, he's making a comment. He said Daybreak is moving buildings because they lost building permissions on their last studio.
Nice.
And is that a joke towards the game of losing permissions to your base?
Yeah, they just had to delete their whole company name and move to something else and move to a new studio.
Yeah. Can we go and claim their old studio?
Yeah, there you go. Just pick it up. We'll do the podcast from there. Looks like they have a pretty nice setup when they do their streams. Well, no, it's the truth. They got a nice green screen going on. We've seen those come up in quality from the first one, which I think we all remember fairly well. We'll see what happens with the studio move. Hopefully they have it planned out and hopefully they're not being forced out by their current landlord, because that's where you really get screwed, is if you have to be out by a certain deadline and into another place while it's still being worked on.
It seems like this doesn't seem like they're being rushed out the door.
Well, you'd hope not.
So we'll see though. I mean,
I think it's a nice looking space. It's a nice looking space. So we'll see how and when that happens. I don't think it'll be before the tournament, though. Definitely not. That's still
That would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, because there's still, inspections and all that other stuff before they can get people in.
I'm thinking at least 2 months.
Yeah. Sebastian, we were talking about this before the show.
Putting out
content. Sebastian, who is the art director, normally puts this stuff out pretty regularly on Twitter, and he put out a cool picture today, which is scrubs on a character model. So you can see the hospital scrubs or the medical center scrubs, because I know people love arguing with that with us. And the one thing I want to point out here is the person is wearing Crocs,
that's your favorite thing. You're like, I can't wait.
No, it's not. It's just, Crocs that's what they're wearing.
Is that what doctors wear and nurses?
I don't think they wear Crocs. I'm not sure. Because Crocs aren't that old.
It's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, Crocs confirmed. So they will be in the game.
My wife is a nurse, and she would never wear. They wear like a hard boot.
Yeah, exactly. You don't wear. I mean, you spill a little blood, and it's all over your foot. Crocs.
Whoops, let me go wash. I'll run my Crocs under the sink for a bit.
Hey, you have an outdoor shower. You just stomp around in the shower outside because you have Crocs on, and you're invincible. So that's the hospital scrubs. You can see they've got the hat on, the face mask, and then the scrubs. The shirt and the pants.
I'm African Jesus says a lot of doctors wear Crocs outside of the hospital.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they're
How is this part of this scrubs outfit?
Now, the interesting thing here, Brian, is are we going to see medical center zombies that are going to be wearing these suits? Because that's
what I was kind of hoping for, because I don't necessarily need to dress up like a doctor.
Exactly.
Here's something I just thought of, and tell me if you think I'm coming out of left field here.
Okay.
If you wear scrubs as the medic profession, do you get a buff?
Do you get a
buff? Is there some, because what would be the point of wearing some of these scrubs? Like if you put on the mask, to covering the mouth like that, you're losing out on some sort of benefit from maybe wearing some other type of thing on your face. Would they give you some sort of a bonus for wearing that as a medical profession? If you have that as your profession, the medic thing, would they give you some sort of a bonus for wearing that so that you have a reason to actually wear the medical outfit as a doctor or as a person that's a medic?
Possibly.
That would get people wearing their outfit. Like if you have the Ranger, there's the Ranger one that they're looking at. Have them wear a Ranger outfit and they give some sort of a bonus for doing it. I mean, does that make sense to you? Do you see that as a...
I mean,
to get people kind of into that wearing the thing that they are.
I guess so. It depends how rare these things are going to be. Are you going to have to go to the medical center to get these? Are you going to be able to craft these?
If it's a harder thing to get, yeah, that's perfect.
Well, then yeah, possibly.
That's what we want. I keep talking about time seeks. It seems like every week, I talk about time seeks.
Yeah, you do.
You have a profession, and you need to go and get that outfit so that you can get this bonus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time sink.
It is a time sink, and
Level Up Audio says he wants a nurse outfit for the females. Nurses' outfits.
Yeah. And African Jesus did say that there is an official doctor's page on the Crocs website. So,
yeah. So they must.
I guess so.
I guess a lot of doctors do wear Crocs, and we just didn't know it.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen your wife in Crocs? She's a doctor.
She has no Crocs.
Well, so there you go. That's, I don't know. So that's Sebastian's photo update of the week. I guess we should almost make that into a segment because there's almost one every week, if not more than one. But now, Brian, for everybody's favorite segment of the show.
Yes.
It's time.
You have a graphic and everything for it.
It's time for the current player segment. And every week, I look at the numbers and I go, where are these people? Because it honestly doesn't make any sense. We're going to talk about the current players right now. There are currently 18,998 people online. That's more than 1,000 more than there were last week at this time.
Yeah.
But this is the number, Brian, that's crazy high. And it's the 24-hour peak. That's 23,340. That's almost 4,000 more than it was last week.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean, this is that upward progression that I kept on. That I was like, hey, this is awesome. This is what we want. But I just, as you said, I don't feel like we're seeing it in game.
Yeah, we're not seeing it on the servers.
People have got to be just hammering. And if you look in our chat, Hanny did say that, you know, maybe that was some of the lag, was so many more people are playing BRs that it's spawning up servers and they're getting overloaded, maybe growing faster than they're expecting.
Possible.
Maybe that's why sometimes we see spikes of lag, is because they're getting overloaded from having so many people playing BRs.
But you know, that's a good problem to have. Definitely. Now, the other interesting number on here is the 7-day peak, Brian. And this number is the highest that I've seen it in a very long time. It's at 25,369. And that was reached, let me pull it up here. I think it was Saturday was when that number was reached. Actually it was Sunday. So Sunday, August 16th, that number was reached.
Yeah.
So pretty astonishing on the numbers there.
This is awesome for them. They've got to keep this up. They got to keep this growing. Someone in the chat, Gonzo, said, sometimes there's a 900-man queue, which is a good sign. I mean, you know, they got a 900-man queue, and then they're spawning up servers. I mean, that does say that they're a couple servers behind, though, because how many people are in each game? I mean, it's like 100-something usually in a game, so that means that they're getting behind. They don't have enough servers. Is that a sign that they need to take down some of these other regular servers that don't have as many people on them and dedicate more to the actual BR servers that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it for a while now. They can cut back 20, 30 live servers and still be fine because nobody's playing on them. So maybe they do need to push the priority to BR. And the other thing, too, what is up with all the streamer servers still being on there? Still? These guys aren't playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing right now, but, you know, I've heard...
Nobody's on these servers.
Like CDN, the third's server, other than when he is playing, that there's hardly anyone there.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can tone those back, too. I mean, let's be realistic. If they're trying to save that stuff. And now somebody's asking where we get these stats from. This comes from SteamDB.info, and they basically just... They look at the open amount of you know, clients. They see how many people are in Steam and how many people have, you know, the H1Z1 EXE open or the launcher open. So these numbers aren't from Daybreak. These are from Steam. So, for what we know, they're accurate for the most part. But those numbers are incredibly high, Brian. something I wasn't expecting, and you did this last week, so I'm going to do it now. If you go to the 1 month view, Brian, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's like my favorite view because that really gives me an indication of where the game is right now. If you look in the last day or two, it has gone down a little bit, but it's gradually going down. We'll have to see if that is a time of the week, like a day of the week type of a drop. And that if by next weekend, if it's back up at the same point.
And you got to also remember, they've been in the news because of the TwitchCon announcement. So
I would assume that initial jump there on the 13th. When was the TwitchCon announcement? That was
last Tuesday, the day we did the
show. Yeah, so that was exactly a week ago. Mm-hmm. If you look, that was the 11th. There was a jump there. But it seems like on the 13th there was a huge jump, and that's a Thursday.
Yeah. So I don't know. The numbers are really interesting. All I know is our group's been playing Minecraft, so I can speak for that.
We got some pretty cool bases.
Yeah, we did. We did have some cool stuff. We're gonna switch from Infection to we'll keep the same name. We'll just do the H1 Zoom or the Minecraft podcast. Because nobody's doing that. So that's current players. Brian, if we have another good week next week in terms of those current players, I think we're going to see a trend. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been a little iffy because of the announcements, right? They've been in the news. Let's see, now that there's bugs in the game, people are working on the bugs, I wonder what that number is going to be like come next week. So we'll see if the number stays up where it is. Pretty unbelievable.
Well, and as I said before, if they can keep this trend up, that this game is going to be successful.
Exactly.
We did say a long time ago, BR, this game isn't going to survive on BRs alone, but maybe it is. Maybe we were wrong.
Hey, maybe we're wrong, but for a lot of people,
well, okay, BRs isn't their thing. When they make it so where you have to pay for BRs,
let's see
where they're at then.
Yeah, once you're paying for BRs, that number will, you'll have 8,000 people playing the game again.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. We'll keep you updated on that. But Brian, time for the... You almost forgot.
I didn't forget.
But I'm saying you almost forgot. It wasn't in the show notes until the beginning of the show. And I was like, hey, Brian, you forgetting something?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about them. I just didn't have it in my thing. But this is your favorite segment of the week, right?
It's great. I love it.
Other than the current players.
Yeah, I can't contain myself during this segment.
Yeah, well, this is your chance to go to the bathroom or do whatever you need to do.
Let me state this for the record. I have never gotten and left during this segment. This is normally the segment I get up and I turn the air conditioner off because I'm a little chilly.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Well, that's
I'm not socializing. I'm like, hey, I got to run and get an ice cream quick while Brian's
run downstairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing tips of the week. No, that's definitely not it.
Okay. Well, it's fine. You can do whatever you want. So I'll be done in about a minute and a half. Okay. So for our tips of the week, this is, you stay long enough to do the intro though, please. For our tip of the week, we have a beginner tip, which is generally for a person, someone who's just started playing the game. People who maybe haven't played first-person shooters or survival games, but a tip that'll work really well for them to help them get orientated in this game. And then there's an advanced tip, which is maybe for someone who has been playing, and it can be something maybe that's changed with the rules of the game, or maybe it's more advanced tip that is particular to this game. These advanced tips will usually help anyone. So this is our beginner and advanced tips of the week. So my first tip is inspired by one of the loading screens. And this is something that is fairly new because before, when you were having a fire or a barbecue or something like that, rain would not affect it because there was no rain other than the first couple weeks. But now, when placing a barbecue and I think a furnace and a fire, you need to make sure that you put it under something. So either in a building or under some sort of awning or something that's not going to be exposed to the rain, because the rain will put out your fires. That's something, if you're out in the open, you can go set up a fire inside of a building and it's not going to burn the building down. So I would encourage you, if you're building a base, nowadays you may not want to stick those barbecues out in the open like you used to. If you're setting up a fire, maybe not put it out in the open, just because if it does start raining, you will not be able to use that. So make sure the any kind of a fire or anything that you're putting, put it under an awning. So for an advanced tip, this is about the new stacking system for bandages, for med kits. With the core game now, you cannot stack first aid kits. Used to be that you could do multiple first aid kits and you would be able to maybe get out of a severe bleeding extremely quickly and get to full health very fast. But with first aid kits in the core game, not the BRs, you are not able to stack those. But you can stack bandages and gauzes on themselves. If you do put on a first aid kit, it will override the bandages and the gauze. So don't try to stack those anymore. But in BRs, they've kept it more the old style. So if you're in a BR, you can stack the tactical first aids and you can stack the field bandages on themselves. So I would encourage you, if you're in a regular game, you may find that you're wasting things if you try to stack them too much. But in BRs, you're more than welcome to stack bandages with themselves, the gauze, and the first aid kits. So those are my tips of the week.
Oh, thank God I got back in time. That was a close one.
Yes.
Whew. That was a real close one.
I think someone thinks that my beginner tip was a little too advanced. But hey.
Hey, you know, you should be doing the tips of the week then, person in chat. Thanks for...
No, that's fine. No, my tip covered barbecues and furnaces, which most beginners won't have, but it does also cover the fires. And I don't think we've ever talked about how to make a fire. Chop down a tree, get some wood, and click learn.
I mean, here's
the
thing. There's only... Eventually, this segment is going to be done, guys. Like, there's only so many beginners
it gets
tips.
Harder. It gets harder and harder to remember to come up with the very beginnerish things.
Yeah, like...
Because I got to think of, well, what is really beginner that I'm overlooking?
I think next week you should talk about how to move in the game.
You mean like the strafing and ASDW?
No, I'm just... Yeah, WASD. Like how to move in the game. How to turn on... How to launch H1Z1 from Steam. I mean, that's a pretty beginner tip.
No.
Right?
No, but I'm saying there may be... what I can do is look up some movement things that aren't... Just like the WASD keys.
There you go. Find a hatchet. Left click a tree. Perfect.
There you go.
So thank you for that, Brian.
Yes, how to roll. That's a good one. I'll put that on my list.
Well, now you told everybody they're going to look it up between this week and next week. You can't use it now.
Okay. Well, we're going for the beginner people. Most of these people aren't beginners that are on their live show.
Yeah. I don't know how many. There was like one time where the beginner tip was like, I was like, oh, I'd never even thought of that before.
That's but, I forgive you.
But other than that, it was like, I'm a real noob. And I am, but that's fine. I don't think we have much else here, Brian. Talk about a short show.
We're 15 minutes short of the 7 o'clock my time.
Yeah, but we started late. We're only at an hour and a half.
Oh yeah. So, well, isn't this what we're edging down towards our goal time of 45 minutes?
But
we will someday have a 45-minute show.
But one thing that we can talk about, Brian, is how you can help support the show.
Oh, yeah. And we did get some positive feedback from this last...
Yeah, some people are like, hey, you know, I'm actually going to be doing this. So if you guys are interested, and I know some people are and some people aren't, it's not like we're going to stop doing the show free or making it paid or stop doing the show in general with the whole support thing. But if you want to... support our show, you can easily do that. It's infectionpodcast.com/support. Or if you just go to the website, there's a support button on the nav bar and there's a little link on the left-hand side.
It says support the show.
You can't miss it. Like Brian set that up. You can't possibly miss it. But this is what the stuff looks like here. There's two buttons. We're working on getting some Amazon codes for other countries, but right now we have Amazon.com. And with that, if you buy something on Amazon, we get a little kickback from what you're purchasing. Or if you want to do a direct PayPal donation, you can do that on the right-hand side.
And but I personally do a ton of purchasing on Amazon, so this is not going to cost anything extra out of your pocket. That's a nice thing about the Amazon affiliates, is if you're going to be doing any buying of anything on Amazon, all you do is click our link, which will just take you to the Amazon store and buy what you normally buy.
And let me give you a quick tip, Brian. This is an advanced tip for people that want to really – an advanced tip for show supporters. Click the Amazon button on the website. Set it as a bookmark. That's the key to success. Then every time you go to Amazon.
I actually have mine. I have a Chrome plugin every time.
Don't talk about the Chrome plugin because that's against the EULA. So let's.
We won't do that.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Just set the bookmark. I have my Amazon bookmark set for an affiliate link. So that's what you do. So there you go. You can support our show. Don't set up any Chrome things.
No Chrome plugins. Sorry.
Brian, where can people...
Now, Joe wants to know, would that work for Kindle book sales? Yes, it does.
Yeah, and we're working on getting some other country codes. So we're going to have a CA.
So I know Joe is over in Europe.
Yeah, we'll have a CA and a UK hopefully soon. We're just trying to figure out how that works.
I have to go in there and create the account for it.
Yeah, but there's a way to... Amazon has an easy way to do it for people that want to do something like that. We just have to figure out how that works. So if you're from the UK and you can hold off on a purchase... we'll have that up there. We will have that up there within the next day or two. We'll make that a goal.
We'll make a focus on it.
But of course, if not, buy what you need to buy. don't wait on our behalf. So, Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, if you want to go find me on the internet, you can go to, first of all, biteoftech.com. And of course, that is with an I. Or you want to go to google.com/+BrianAldridge. And that will take you to my Google Plus page. And, of course, we have our website, infectionpodcast.com. There's a contact form that will take you to somewhere that you can send an email to both Nick and I. And we have our Steam group for infection, which is a great way to see other people that are playing, I guess, maybe not only H1Z1, but other games as well.
Like
so, yeah, if you want to play some Minecraft, let us know, or any other games. But join our Steam group, because we have, I think, about 200 people on there that are playing all kinds of games. Any game that you can think of, if you want to find some good people to play with, you're more than welcome to jump on there.
Yeah, and quickly, Brian, we've got some infection stuff coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Soon, from one of our fans. So.
Yeah, Landgun's going to be sending us some cool swag, I guess Daybreak doesn't send us any swag, so
yeah. Hey,
if
you want Daybreak to send us swag, send Daybreak an email because they don't
say,
respond.
Hey, why don't you guys send Infection some swag because we would totally give it out.
Yeah, they don't respond to our email. So if you're fed up with Daybreak, send them an email. And
they're asking if Landgun is part of a group. Landgun is a fan of the show.
But he's with another clan. He's with Solid State.
He's not even in our clan. Yeah, he's a Solid State Gaming guy. So it's not that he's working for us or anything. he's a fan of the show. And so he tries to help out in any way that he can.
Yeah, and we'll give it once we get this the stuff, because he always promotes a little bit of his stuff on that. We'll throw his links and whatever in the show notes because he has a Twitch channel. And a YouTube channel, I think, too. So
/ Landgun or Landgun 44.
He's on 44, I believe.
Yep, he's on Twitch.
Yep. So we'll have that in the show notes, and hopefully we'll be able to show that stuff off next week. I'm not going to tell you what yet, but he's a variety pack of stuff that he's working on. So hopefully we'll get that stuff in, and we're trying to, it's cool. He's a fan of the show. We didn't ask him to do any of this stuff, but he's sending us some cool swag. So we'll let you know next week. Brian, thank you so much.
Yep.
I don't know. We got to play H1Z1 at some point this week because I played Minecraft.
Yeah, we played on Saturday. You're talking about this week.
I played Minecraft for probably 8 hours straight yesterday, and I know you probably did too because it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, I've built a huge complex and built up a full shop system.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do a tour of our server next week. I'm sure everybody will love that. If you guys are interested in watching the show live, if you're listening to it after the fact, it's live the same time, same place, every Tuesday night. It's twitch.tv/infectionpodcast or infectionpodcast.com/live. You can also get the show wherever you can get a podcast. iOS, Android, Windows Phone, wherever else. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. I mean, if you find a place that serves podcasts that we're not on, send me an email or a Steam Messenger or tweet with the name of the service, and I'll do my best to get us on there. My name is Nick Craig. Infectionpodcast.com is the website. Thanks for watching the show, guys, and we'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everybody.